So this week's episode for The Seed is with my cousin author, Brandi Hines of Burning Ivy. I always enjoy having somebody in the podcast studio for conversations when we record The Seed versus virtual. However, this virtual stung a little bit more because I wasn't able to give her a big hug and give her all the love that I wanted to, because, I mean, number one, she's my cousin, so of course I love her and I miss her dearly, but to really, truly congratulate her on the piece of art that she created. So please stay tuned and please like, subscribe, and comment. And also, I would definitely download on your Kindle or go to Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, or your local bookstore and grab a copy of the book Burning Ivy. It is absolutely delicious. Those characters of her novel are still with me today, and it's been nearly 5 days since I completed the book.
Hey everyone, and welcome to The Seed. We are changing over to a new podcast show that is more reflective of where I am in life. Ironically, The Seed was planted by every guest that I had on my Homes and Hops podcast. So listen in, subscribe, and comment on my new monthly podcast, The Seed, which stems from Dandelion Discussions, all about women empowerment, entrepreneurship, and objectives that are often planted in us. Our guest stories are here to inspire, educate, and most importantly, to let you know you are not alone.
Hey everyone, I am here with author Brandi Hines, who happens to also be my cousin. So I'm going to brag a little bit about my superstar cousin who wrote this phenomenal book, Burning Ivy. Not only did she write the book, Burning Ivy, but she created her own publishing company to throw it out there because she was tired of waiting on the process of publishing books, and which we'll get into for a little bit. But hey, Brandi.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
I am so excited for you to be here. So before we begin, I just want to say that we are cousins, and we're not just any cousins. We are definitely people that have been connected for all of our lives. Even when we're not in the same state, we are still together. That's how I always felt.
Absolutely. Well, that's also a testament to you, because you are the type of person who celebrates others, which makes Dandelion Incorporated the perfect business for you, because you're celebrating women. And that's really the heart of who you are. You show up for people and you cheer them on and recognize who they are. And that's something I've always loved about you. And I think that is really why, no matter where we've been, it's been connected, because you're willing to do that. And so.
Well, I think we also both accept each other for who we are.
Absolutely.
All of our imperfections, our idiocracy, like all of it, like we have still always made it through and still been together.
Well, beauty is often in the flaws.
Yes, thank you very much. That's what I say with every wrinkle.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, if the world was perfect, it would be terribly boring.
It really would be.
We often marvel at the imperfections. We just don't necessarily see it that way. So sometimes I think what we love most about people are the things the world would probably say are flaws, or are not measuring up, or are quirks, or however they word it. But I think really that's the best part of another person.
I think the fun is seeing something in someone that they don't see in themselves yet.
Oh, I love that. Well, see, that's you cheerleading for people. Like I said, that's how you show up. That's the heart of your philosophy. You just summed it up. There we go.
But however, I have had to learn not to push people into what I see in them that they're not ready to be.
Yes, I suppose your agenda wouldn't necessarily align, but it is sweet that you have a lofty agenda for them. So as long as they see the intention, it's
fine. Everybody could just get on board, right?
Listen, I've got your 5-year plan.
Oh, perfect.
I'm all about it. So let's deep dive into this book. I finished the book a few days ago and I can't get it out of my mind. I kid you not. So a moment ago, it's such a phenomenal book. So I'm going to say the name again for everyone. Burning Ivy is the name of the book. And it is, what would you say the genre is?
It's dark romance.
So it's a dark romance novel, which I'm not going to lie. I have never read a dark romance novel until yours.
I don't know. I would say it's kind of a newer genre. So if you're not an avid fiction reader, it's not something that, you know, was around years ago as much. Whereas now it is very popular. And you can see, you know, there's different subgenres in the dark romance. You could have, you know, mafia or sometimes paranormal or secret societies. There's so many different things. There's stalker romances. I mean, bully romances, so many different subgenres that fall under that dark romance. But dark romance, it's gaining in popularity. And it makes sense that that would be new for you.
Would 50 Shades of Grey fall under dark romance?
No.
Okay, what would that be?
I'm not sure what they classify it as, but I would say that it's more erotica romance.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, at the heart of that storyline is the sex theme, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
It's built around that as being what carries the plot. So I think that that has to fall under.
Because what's interesting is that I thought at first that there was a connection of genres between the two novels. This is before I read your book. Okay. And I started reading 50 Shades of Grey. And I guess I am the exception and not the rule of all the readers out there, because clearly it was a very popular series and popular movie. But I never got into it. I was not into a surprise, surprise, a woman being a subservient character in the book. And therefore, I mean, literally, I did go with a friend to see the movie in the theater. I came home and I think I bitched to my husband for 30 minutes about how I would never let a man do that to me and treat me that way. Not what he was hoping for, but that's what happened.
Yes. Well, and different things appeal to different people. I think what was really great about 50 Shades is it opened people up in a more public way to that type of book, that type of story. So it was a window for others to try to squeeze through. And as they've, you know, as the years have passed, it's become a big open door. And I think that's just really great. So some people still love, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. I'm sure there's others who are deep in the genre who would say that might've been the beginning, but we've got some really great things out there that are a better representation. And I don't want to review any author's book, so I won't express any opinions one way or another. But what I will say is, you know, props to allowing a genre to be born and, you know, giving the public a better, you know, obviously it was something that people wanted, that readers wanted. And so from there, we've been able to grow a whole, like I said, all these subgenres, all these different types of books. And so I think that's fantastic just in itself.
And then came your book.
Yeah, sometime later
that literally has, I miss the characters. You felt as if you were part of their world, the never ending story. You're watching everything happen, and you know each of those characters inside and out, and know what. I can't wait for the next book, because you know that there's still so much more depthness to each of them.
I love hearing that. I can't even just tell you. It's kind of like they're like my babies. So I yes. love that you love them. So thank
you. How'd you create, How'd you create them?
Well, my mind is a mysterious place. Sometimes characters just pop up. And you know, for years I stuffed them away and thought, why are these crazy stories? Why am I envisioning all of these stories? But then I started to write them down, and it's been much better for my mental health that I give them a place to speak freely and live their story out. So I can't necessarily tell you how I come up with them because they kind of just show up there. So
and each one you love
so much. Yes. Yes. And the more you write a character, the more you fall in love with them. Again, it comes back to how the beauty is in the flaws of a person and how you love to see what's unique about them, like we spoke at the beginning. And a character's the same way. I often fall in love with what some people would say are their character flaws, but it makes them so uniquely them. And there's just so much beauty in that, in a person and in a character, because you can learn so much of how they embrace it or how they use it to their advantage, or how, you know, people come to love them because of it. And I think that's why people fall in love with morally gray characters. We like to see the flawed character thrive.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily about redemption. You know, we don't necessarily need that morally gray character at the end of a novel to be, you know, suddenly pure, because I don't know if I've ever read a story where they are, right? No. Like, they're still morally gray and we love it. And I think that's, again, because you see there's such a draw for this imperfection that's used so perfectly. Or with morally gray, you know, spicy characters, maybe in their filthy mouth and other things, yes. But regardless, they draw us in one way or another.
Speaking of filth, so Ivy, so the two main characters for everyone out there are Ivy and Wells. Wells is literally, in my mind, the perfect man.
Oh, I love that.
morally gray, perfect man. And Ivy is this phenomenal heroine in this book that I mentioned this to you the other day, that what I love so much about her, when you talk about that dark side of romance, that she dominated that dark side of romance, that it put a different mindset from where you always thought where dominance went in the sexual world out there, like thinking 50 Shades of Grey, to what she did, which was she was in control. Like, these, it was her about filling her needs.
Yes, but to make it very clear, she would still be considered a submissive if we looked at the relationship. She'd really still be considered the submissive, so that people don't think, because if somebody is looking for a dominant female character in the sense that it's dominant and the male is submissive, that's not what they're getting. Wells is still very dominant. The difference is that she craved that. She knew yes. that about herself. She craved being claimed of being, you know, in her sense, that's just what she always wanted. And he could see that. So that clicked for them. Yes. So sometimes what I enjoyed writing about her character is that you can have a very strong female who can hold her own and be very strong in the world and stand up to people and put her needs first in all areas. And she can still say, but in this area, I want you to be in control. Yep. In this area, I want to hand that to you. And that doesn't make me less strong. That doesn't make me, you know, less powerful. I love that about us. And so that was really something that was fun about her, because she is submissive in their relationship, but it's because that's what she needed. So there's power in that. You know, so people sometimes view that, and if you're looking at the 50 Shades of Grey, it was just presented a little differently. And so that does make it a little more confusing, because it looks as though you're losing all your power.
Well,
and for Ivy, that wasn't the case. And I can't speak for other characters or other people or anything like that. But for her character, that is one of the things that elevated her strength rather than stripped her of it.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that was perfectly executed in the book. I really do. So the feminist that I am.
Yes.
I read that and didn't have the argument afterwards with my husband about the submission or anything like that. And a woman, it honestly, I was probably like, maybe I will.
Oh, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for the conversation you had with Auntie after reading the book, like, or a scene. So let me read you a line. I'm sure.
Andy's probably home reading the book right now.
Well, I hope he enjoys it.
So how long did it take you to write this book? Start the thought in your mind, walk us through the process, like you thought had in your mind that you wanted to venture down this road, and pen to paper.
Okay. So last March, I had just finished up an adult rom-com last February or March. And I really loved that story too. It was fun. It was much lighter, you know, a rom-com. Yes. The plot was a lot easier, you know, not a lot of suspense. It was just a nice story and I enjoyed it. But what I liked to read is, while I read rom-coms as, say, palate cleansers, I really dig in to the darker stories. So while I'm kind of preparing for this, I was reading darker stories and I started to get that thought, like, I bet I could do this. And so I would say probably, I can't be sure, probably April-ish, I probably started to get some ideas about the story. And oftentimes my first idea is far different from what I create.
Okay.
This is the first novel I've published, but the seventh I have written for my own practice.
Okay.
So, and in all of them, what I would say is the common theme is I get one idea, but by the time it forms into the actual story, it has changed drastically. But it's that seed. You know, it's the seed that plants, and then it just starts to grow in its own way. So in May, I started to really get a clearer picture of what this was. And it was really Ivy who came to me first. It was her, just her thought process. And there's elements of my own thought process in her. And I think some of it was coinciding with me learning to, I don't know, embrace my own quirks. At the same time as I'm thinking of her, and it started to form some of that. And then I think I started writing towards the end of May. Maybe. I know we went on a trip, and then we got sick when we returned. And so it took a few weeks in the middle out there. And then I finished in early July, because I'm typically a pretty fast writer.
You finished an almost 400-page book in that short amount of time?
It's 465 pages.
Oh, well, but, look at that. Yes. I read a 465-page book, y'all.
Yes, you did.
Self-help.
So that's the first draft. Then, of course, I have to edit it. And that's when I go back in and add, say, deeper elements. Although I will say my first draft is generally, it's pretty hearty. When I add, it's generally about, say, another 2,000 words pulling some things out, putting some things in, maybe enhancing smells or, you know, what you're seeing, that type of stuff that doesn't necessarily come out when you're trying to get everything on the page the first time. So, but yes, I'm a very fast writer, but that's because one of the quirks I was learning to embrace was this hyper focus I have. Whereas when I get my mind set on something, I have to do it. So, and I have a hard time breaking from it, which sounds like, you know, ooh, it's like a superpower, and it can be, but it can also be difficult because it can be hard for me to transition to things that I need to do other than that, or, you know, eat simple tasks, right? So it's, you know, pros and cons with everything. But what it does enable me to do is once the story solidifies in my brain, I can just, as fast as my fingers can get it out, I can get it out. So that is a plus. So I wrote it very quickly, then I edited it. And then dark romance is less pitchable to agents and publishers. It's not that it isn't. There's just not as many places that carry it, not as many agents that are interested, and not as many traditional publishers who are willing to publish it. So there certainly are some. It's just a harder sell. It's not as easy as...
For anybody out there who's thinking about publishing their own book, how do you even go about finding an agent or publications that would promote the book?
So fiction and nonfiction are different. So if your listeners are nonfiction, they should kind of dig into that differently, because then you pitch a proposal and such. But with a fiction, your book has to be finished, edited, polished before you even pitch.
Okay.
Then you have to send queries to agents, and that's like a letter explaining what you've got. And every agent, one of the biggest issues that makes it a more complicated process is that every agent has what they want. They all have something different. So one person wants 5 pages, one person wants 50, someone else wants you to cut it off at 3 chapters. You know, it can be different for each and everyone, and the process. Some people you submit via email, some people on their website, some people via query tracker. So it's a lot of balls to keep.
Yeah.
And really, the suggestion is that you submit a minimum of 100 queries, because it is very challenging. You know, they're getting so many queries. So it is not a reflection of, you know, your writing or your story to not be seen. I mean, these agents are just overwhelmed.
Yeah, they're inundated with offers.
They really are. And they're trying to also take care of their clients and get things done for the publishers, right?
Yes.
So it's just this, it's kind of this saturated system that is a little squeaky right now. That's all. But so what I will say is my other books, and I'll say, let's go with the most recent that I wrote before the dark romance, the rom-com. It did very well with agents. I got a huge response rate, a lot of full reads. I still have agents who have it, because agents sometimes keep a full read, which is when they say, hey, I've read the excerpt you sent me and I would like to read the whole manuscript. I think I might be interested, but they can not get back to you for a year. So that's what really led to my deciding to publish the dark romance on my own, because I wait at the, by the time I finished Burning Ivy, I had quite a few agents. I think at the time I had probably 15 full reads out at that point, and I had only sent 40 queries. So I was getting a fantastic response rate. Several of those 15 have been rejected at this point, but I do still have some agents who have the full manuscript, and who knows what will come of that, because I've decided to go in a different direction. I knew they could keep it for so much longer. So then when I thought about how Burning Ivy was dark and it was going to be harder to pitch, and most of the agents I had pitched in the past who loved my writing weren't necessarily going to be interested because this wasn't their type of story, that's when I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this one and I'm just going to run with it, because I don't want to keep waiting and doing everything else, doing it by everyone else's timeline. So that could happen down the road, but at the moment, this is what I chose to do.
So how did you start your own publishing company to burst this out there for all of us to have the, not have to wait, which thank you.
Well, that was very simplistic. So the own publishing company, it's Knight Bloom Press, and I just started an LLC. It wasn't a whole lot. I did it for various reasons. I would love at some point, because the publishing industry is very difficult, and again, dark romance especially is harder to get through an agent and to a publisher for writers. I would love at some point to be able to accept some manuscripts and see what I could do for another writer. But that is that's a dandelion dream. That's, you know,
no joke though. I was literally thinking that the moment that you told me a couple of weeks ago now that you started your own publishing company, which of course Dandelion Inc., we of course think that that's pretty badass. And that's the way that all women should do things. If there's a delay, you make your own path in your own way. But like my wheels were immediately turning about, well, this could go beyond her series. This could be so much more. Could you then also, not just with the dark romance, then publish the rom-com that I have not read yet, but I am like based upon Birdie and Ivy, I'm sure I would also love the rom-com as well. I mean, your writing is just, I kid you not, Brandy. And I know like, and you should know me well enough that I do not like, I don't go this much and like basically spew like fangirl all over you about how good this book is. But your writing and your talent is phenomenal. Like it's absolutely phenomenal. Like it really is such a beautiful gift that you've received. Like it's just, and you've nurtured it and created it to what it is today. And that's amazing. But
you're making me blush. I feel the heat in my cheeks.
I feel like I need to say something negative.
Do it. Make it a sandwich. It's too much. But you're not all that. Yes. Well, thank you for that. Like I said, I'm glad we're not being videoed because I think I'm turning red.
You're beautiful as always.
But yes, well, I would love to do that again, because there are phenomenal writers out there who want so badly to get their book published and are struggling. And so that would be something down the road that I'd love to do. But at the moment, my hands are just full trying to write and do all the things.
Well, yes, because I really want to read the second book. So
I'm hoping to get that out by May. That is the tentative time frame. So the goal is to get all four books out by the end of the year. And thankfully, I have an incredible publicist through Wordsmith Publicity, who knows all publishing things. And so she helps me with kind of setting my yearly plan and my timeline and who I need to contact in order to get those things done. And so at the moment, it looks as though we're on track, but things arise. So it's
always do, such as
yes,
life.
Exactly.
So how'd you find your publicist?
Well, you know, I read constantly. And so what I did is I started. So what I found is this genre, and not just dark, but a lot of times, you know, just spicy books in general tend to be in indie authors. And so I started, every time I read a book I loved by an indie author, I'd look in their acknowledgments. I'd look to see, you know, who their editor was, who their publicist was, all different things. Because I thought, if that's what I'm going to do, then I want to see who are these people using. And so anytime I could, I'd write them down. Well, I caught Autumn's name from Wordsmith Publicity a few different times. And so once I saw it in a few repeated in a few books that I thought were very well done, I thought, okay, I've got to check her out. And she's fantastic. She's been amazing.
She's definitely on top of it. She is definitely on top of it.
On top of it. Yes. Yeah. She's fantastic. And she knows things. Like sometimes she knows so much that she forgets that I don't know things. So we'll have a conversation and I'm baffled. I'm like, yeah, I didn't do that. And she'll start laughing. She'll say, I never even thought to tell you, because it's, you know, there's so many details. You think when you read a book, it just feels like this finished product yes. that you just picked up and it's there and you know that the author wrote, but you don't think much else. But there's cover design and formatting and editing several times. I mean, I have read Burning Ivy personally probably 100 times.
I think that would be the hardest thing for me to do. I like even think back to college. I don't think I ever reread any of my papers that I turned in. Actually, it's so, when I'm done with it, I am done with it. And it's so much that I even-
Out of sight, out of mind.
That is done. That I even employed one of my friends who is an English major, because I remember getting back on my papers, like, content is great, grammar horrible.
so you delegated. It's brilliant.
So I hired my friend who was an English major to reread what I wrote, and then I would go back and make the edits per her suggestions and then turn it in. And my grades on any paper instantaneously went to A's. But my own editing, I can't do, which I must admit, I utilize AI Grammarly for my editing all the time. However, I still feel like there's probably still comma splices and everything. I'm a comma girl. I love commas. So
what's not
to love?
Yes.
Who wants to be constrained by some sort of organization that developed these rules to begin with? You can start a sentence.
Honestly, some of them are probably subjective at this point, but you know, it's all who's reading it. But I have an editor who worries about those things, thankfully. So I am a little obsessive. Like yes. I said, with the hyper-focus. So yeah. I read and reread and reread and try to get it as perfect as I can before I turn it into her. But she's amazing. So she catches things where I just think, okay, I read that so many times. How did she get that? Like, how did she see that? Why didn't I see it? But that's the thing, because when you're looking at something over and over and over again, your mind starts to know what is expected. And yes. stop seeing what isn't, what is actually there, and starts to see what's supposed to be there. So it becomes yes. difficult. So you need other eyes. You need proofreaders and, you know, ARC readers, beta readers, editors. And there are so many unsung heroes in the book process who do so much work to get one out there. But again, you know, like my formatter, I mean, she's amazing. She just kept I kept sending her things and saying, oh no, I want it done like this. And she'd just fix it and send it back. And where it would have been, I wouldn't have even known where to start to do something like that. So yeah, it's a lot. So, but that all came from my publicist. So, you know, Autumn sent me to all those people and made it so much easier. So.
Well, Autumn, I hope you listen to this, because you are pretty amazing, and you might get some additional calls after this.
Yes, maybe.
So for everyone out there, like, how can they get their hands on the book?
Well, the paperback is actually currently live as we're speaking on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So it can be ordered through both of those. It will also be available in ebook. I'm not sure what day this will air, but on January 25th. So okay. I'm not sure if it'll be before or after this airs, but yes, on January 25th, you can get it through Kindle Unlimited.
Okay.
So, and that's where a good majority of romance readers tend to consume their books, because most romance readers are ravenous. And so Kindle U makes it an easy way for them to get it. So that That's another source. And then I'll have audiobooks too. So the audio
I was just
is
about
all
that. Completed. Are you going to read your own?
Oh, no. No, they're narrators. Again, like I said, all the people who go into it know we have, there's a Blue Nose Audio, a company we use, and they audition people. That was one of the coolest experiences, I will say, because I sent them a piece from Ivy's POV and a piece from Wells POV, about 500 words. And they sent it out to, I don't know how many, to their narrators to audition. And then they sent us about 10 from each that they felt met what I asked. You know, I told them kind of what I wanted it to sound like. So then they sent me like the top 10 and we got to listen to them. And that was so fun. And what was so funny is Abby, the girl I work with from Blue Nose, she said, make sure that you send me something that is either an emotional scene or a super spicy scene, because you want to hear how they're going to read those scenes. You know, the most anyone can read kind of a paragraph, but you want to hear how they're going to portray a very spicy scene or a very emotional scene. So it was so funny because my husband filmed it. It was so cute. The two of us are in bed and we've got the speaker between us and we're listening to guy after guy deliver Wells's filthy mouthed lines. And it was just so fun. I was like, that's him. So I'm super excited about the audiobook. I think it'll be really good.
So
I know it'll be really good.
Is there four or five books in total?
There's four in this series, but I have plans. If you remember the Noir brothers,
yes,
they will get a series. So there's five of them. So that it will be the same universe.
Oh, with the sister too.
Well, that's the sixth.
Okay.
That's the sixth Noir. There's five Noir brothers.
Okay.
So there's five books in the Noir series, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. And then the Court series, there's four.
There's four.
And is it each of the characters that I've met? So you have Liam, you have Ty, Gage, and then Wells is kind of Wells with Ivy. That was this book. Are you going to, the other three, are we going to deep dive further into them?
You'll have to read and see.
Killing me.
Yeah. Well, there's reasons I don't want to say too much.
Okay.
I cannot answer fully without offering spoilers.
Okay. I like Brandy, and I did make a post of this the other day, and I truly, it was ironic that the post, I like looking back at Facebook memories, I, that same day that I made the post, and that's how I knew I could actually reference the year, it was 2018 when I finished the last book, which was a series as well. And it was, they were actually sci-fis, but like dark romance sci-fi, not dark romance, but like there was romance and heroines intertwined in the sci-fi. So it was the Mime Order and Red Rising series, which are absolutely good as well. But that was the last time that I really thoroughly got so invested and immersed and actually hyper-focused that I'm not thinking about eating or sleeping because I'm that into the book, because that's all my mind keeps thinking about. And until I read your book, like, no joke. Now, and I'm an avid reader, I mean, but, and I love my self-help books and I love the business books and everything that I do read, but I'm going to be honest, those are like the check off the box, like, okay, I did that. I've learned from it. Like, now let's grow our mindset even further with another book along those genre. But yours, it's a whole other experience. And it's been a long time. So thank you again.
Well, thank you again for making me blush. But yes, thank you so much. I'm excited. That means the world to me. So I hope that's what people experience. I know for me, there's nothing like getting lost in a book, completely disappearing into it and experiencing another world. So the thought that anyone would read my book and get to have that experience is just, it's just overwhelming. But so thank you for sharing that.
So I have to ask you before we go, besides yourself, who would you say is your favorite author?
Oh, that's such a hard one. I have a lot of authors. Oh, I have to think in different genres. You'd think I'd have that prepared, but but I really do. I'm trying to think who I like lately. I do like Chantal Tessier. She's got the Lord series.
Okay.
It's very dark and much spicier than mine.
Okay.
So there's that. I do like that. And oh, there's so many good smaller ones. I kind of want to like make a shout out to some. Let's see, because we're going to do that. I've got, because you know, some of these, oh, if you like a lighter series, I love Elsie Silver. She's got, it's the Chestnut series. They're not dark at all, to be clear.
Okay.
No dark, but they are spicy. Her men are fantastic. In the one series, she's got like a bull rider, a hockey player, you know, the grumpy sunshine trope, who's a single dad. I think one of them, I haven't read that one yet, but I think there's one with a football player. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the next one on my list to read, but she's fantastic. She's a lot of fun. Oh, Emily McIntyre. That's probably one of my favorites. She's got the Never After series, and that's Hooked is fantastic, but she's got, I think there's five. I'd have to count. Look, I'm holding up my hand like I'm a child. But yeah, so she's fantastic. So she's another one. Hers are dark, dark okay. And spicy, various levels for each one. But yes, dark and spicy, but her writing is phenomenal. I just think Emily has such a gift, because lots of authors can tell stories and you can get immersed in the story, and she does that well, but she also, yes, that she's probably at the top of my list. She also, brings such life to the story because her words are strung together so pretty, so beautifully. Yeah. So I really, really love her. So that's off the top of my head. I should have prepared, but I'm not great at preparation, at forward thinking of those things. Like, oh, she asked me, I just kind of showed up. So you would think
you should know me better than to ever try to guess what I'm going to ask.
Well, that's what I actually, that was my thought process, is I thought I could overthink this. And then I thought that won't serve me because who knows what she's going to say. So I moved on, but I should have known. That's an obvious question. The thing is like, I feel like favorite author is rough because it almost changes for me constantly, because it's whatever story I've fallen in love with most recently. And then I try to consume all their books. And then I maybe go back to someone else that I loved a lot before, or, you know, so it shuffles because there's so many good authors out there. And, you know, really big shout out to indie authors because they work so hard. And there's, you know, like I said, like Elsie Silver, she's done incredible with her platform. And I know she was, I don't know if she's still, she might've been picked up now because she's got maybe 10 books out, but okay. Yeah. And Emily McIntyre also started off as an indie author, but now she gets produced by Bloom Books. So
you just mentioned picked up. Do you mean picked up by a publication company? Okay.
And then got picked up. I think that was kind of her journey. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, so that happens sometimes. But then sometimes there's authors who probably could get picked up by a publisher and just don't want to, you know, because you lose a lot of control when you do that.
Okay.
So, because they might want to tell your story differently or give you a cover you don't like, or who knows, you know, they can chop a story to bits sometimes. So I know there's probably a lot of indie authors that just like to keep it that way. I kind of went down a rabbit hole on that you weren't expecting.
I thought that was amazing. Which then also, because
with a simple question, who's your favorite author? And I just,
here's another one, because you kept mentioning indie authors. And then of course the control and everything of being able to publish your own books. What advice do you have to all those young authors? Isn't the proper word to utilize before authors, because you don't have to be young to start. Young in the sense of you're just starting off the journey of being a
baby
a
author.
Yes.
We'll say baby author. Yes.
What advice do you have to all the baby authors out there? Like, what advice would you give me if I started down the path of writing a book beyond just an ebook, down a path of writing a book? What advice would you have to give me?
Well, I think some of the advice would apply to almost any area, even if it was an author. And one of the things I would say is, first, don't listen to all the chatter out there, because so many people have an opinion and it just makes things harder. So decide what you want, because for some people, being traditionally published is so important to them that they'll wait 5 years to see if they can get an agent. And no one should tell them that that's not an okay decision, because those are their words, their work, really, for a writer, it's like your soul on the page in so many ways. And so no one should have the right to say, well, you've been waiting 5 years, just self-publish, because for that person, maybe that doesn't work. So really get to the heart of what you want and stick with it. Let the chatter disappear. But if you've decided, I just want my book in the hands of readers, I believe in what I have to offer, and that's what I want, then there's a lot of steps. I mean, I personally would find someone, this is what I did, you know, find the publicist, find someone who knows the publishing industry and can guide you through it. Because if not, it's going to be trial by fire and you're going to get singed, is all I'd say, is because it is too many things to handle without having at least advice. Now, maybe you're not in a position where you can afford to employ someone, but there are still ways of connecting in the writing community, having people refer you to other people. I would also say, make sure it is edited in your very best work to offer the world. That makes a huge difference. And just do it. Just believe that you can do it and stick to it. Also, I mean, the thing is there's so many balls, you know, social media, because you have to be advertising it. And that, as any business owner knows, is just a beast in itself. I mean, a time suck. But yeah, I think that the beginning part would be, have your manuscript finished to the very best it can be. And once you feel as though it is something you're ready to offer the world, seek out either someone who can tell you what you need to do and the steps to do them, or you could probably do a fair amount of research and get all those things, but you're going to need an editor and a cover designer and, you know, a formatter. And then I'd say, you know, just go with it, own it. And don't, also the other thing I would also suggest is manage expectations, because no matter how good that book is at the beginning, it might take, you know, when you publish it, it might take a really long time to get your readership when you self-published, especially because you don't have the backing of the traditional publisher. So it does make it harder. That's a negative. You get full control. You know, you get more of the money from the book, but you have to put some money into it where you don't with the traditional. So again, there's pros and cons with each, but I definitely think one of the hard parts is to manage that expectation. Just know it might be slow, you know, and that is one of the reasons I think publishing more than one, I've seen this before with a few indie authors that I've communicated with. They publish one and it doesn't do great and they stop. And you can't do that. You have to keep writing and keep publishing. That's my own personal. Now, again, I did say own what you want. So maybe you only want to publish one. And then if that's the case, that's fine. But if what you want is a career as an author, keep publishing, keep writing, because you'll get discovered, maybe not on book one, but a reader might find you on book five, or a reader might find you on book 20. But when that reader falls in love with you on book 20, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go back and read all 20 books.
Yes, they will.
In fact, one of the people I really enjoy, another originally indie author, she has been picked up by publication, is Lucy Score. She does rom-coms. So those listeners of yours that like lighter things, she's so good. She's so fun. But that's what happened with me with her, is I read, I don't know, maybe her 17th book or something. And I loved it so much that I went on like a Lucy Score binge and read all. You know, I thought I consumed them all. And that's what happens is, you know, you find an author you like, you end up reading everything. So maybe you don't find them on book one, but you know, your readers might find you on book 17 and then read all 17 and then be a super fan after that. So.
And then profess out there to the world that they should also read her if they like the light rom-com.
Exactly. And then on some podcast, although she is probably being mentioned now at this point in her career, she's probably being mentioned everywhere because she's done the work. She's probably 10, maybe even 15 years in. I'm not sure. She started, maybe it was like 2012 or something. Okay. I can't remember. I've read her story before, but she's in it now. And she probably puts out maybe 4 books a year, most years. I think she's had a couple years where she did 5 and a couple years where she did 3, but she's also a pretty fast writer. And I really think I learned a lot from her by watching she was one of the ones when I wrote the rom-com that came before Burning Ivy that I had been kind of paying attention to. And that's when the idea of self-publishing started to come to mind because I knew she did it. And I thought, here she is, so successful. And it's because, you know, she started on her own. She just went for it. And so, yeah, well, that's what I would say. Go for it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Brandy, I love you.
Oh, and thank you. I know right back at you.
Our next is going to be a girls' trip together.
Yes. I'm holding you to it.
Oh, I'm in. I am definitely. Listen, New Year's Eve, I was running around outside with luggage so I would travel this year.
You were running around. Oh, is that like some sort of like banging on the pans kind of thing?
Yes. Yes.
like putting it out in the universe, running around with luggage.
I had lentils in my pocket. I was running around with luggage. I was doing anything imaginable that you're supposed to do. It did not matter ethnicity, nationality, anything to bring in the best 2024.
Wow, that is fascinating on so many levels. And now I have a very clear vision of you running through the streets with luggage at midnight. And
yes,
and that's fine.
Yes.
So what happens if you're like snuggled up on the couch on midnight at midnight on New Year's? What do you
Well, maybe that's what you want for 2024.
Well, I would say at home with a book.
You would be
my husband by my side. That's generally what I'm looking for.
Yeah. You'd be fine.
So that's okay, good. Then I did it right.
my butt wants to travel.
I do love traveling, but I'm such a homebody that it's draining. So I kind of go back and forth. I love it. I love experiencing new places, but I not enough to run around the streets with luggage.
I, on the other hand, I get my energy from new places. And
you're an extrovert.
Yes. I'm an extrovert introvert, I believe. Is that how that goes? Because I'm not your social being that likes to be in a crowded room.
Okay.
But I am the person who likes working outside the coffee shops, trying the foods and all of those things. But if I'm in a crowd of people, it is the most uncomfortable situation for me to be in.
Yes. Peopling for me is rough. I mean, yeah. I have learned over the years to mask it very
yes.
well.
Yes.
And so I always feel like I'm sweating when I'm talking to someone. Yes.
No, 100%.
Or I'm in a crowd. Yes, because it's like this, it's just not my natural comfort level. But I can perform and feel as though, you know, at least make it seem as though I'm comfortable there. But really what I want to do is like be in my little cocoon.
I agree.
That's how I'm comfortable. So that's why traveling for me, you know, airports and just all the places and interaction, I love a lot about it, but it really zaps my energy. So it can be an exhausting experience. But my husband, I'm like a travel princess with him. So that's, I like to travel with him. I do nothing. He just, and he laughs. He's like, yeah, okay. He hands me things. Like as we're in line, show this to the guy. It has to be in your hand. I can't do this part. So I'm like, okay. So then I'll ask randomly once in a while. I'm like, he's like, yes, it's packed. Yes. Yes, sweetheart. It's packed. Yes.
You're good.
But yeah. So yeah. But yeah, so he takes care of everything. So that makes traveling a little bit better. So I do tend to travel with him, but I don't necessarily initiate it, but I am looking forward to a girl's day or a girl's weekend.
Yes. Yeah. It's not a day. It's a weekend.
No, you're too far for it to be a day. Yes. We 100%. Have to do a weekend. I'll have to get
you're
you to
too
the
far.
Well, I'm kind of in the destination, but yes.
Yeah, you are.
Where the sun always shines. But yes, so I can't wait for that. I've loved this so much. And I love Dandelion Incorporated. I love that you are helping women network and thrive in businesses. It is a phenomenal mission and it suits you perfectly. So I am honored to be a guest.
Well, I love you. And I am honored to have been able to read the book before it came out. A little amazing.
That's right. You were my earliest ARC reader because of the podcast. I had to get you a book super early. So that was a little treat for you.
So you let me know if you need that for your second release.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe we'll do another podcast.
I know.
I will be opening ARC team signups for that in probably a month. So,
you know, my butt will sign up.
Yes, absolutely. Get an early copy.
Well, Brandy, I love you very much. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I love you too. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you everyone for listening in to The Seed. If you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter, go to dandelion-inc.com and click Let's Connect. And please be sure to subscribe to The Seed's monthly podcast to hear more inspiring stories from other badass women that are all around us. Remember, behind every woman is a tribe of other successful women who have their back. To you all, thank you.